How are you looking ahead of this trip to Plymouth?
Just Drew and Dan at the minute. You know, Drew's dragging on a little bit longer than we thought now. You know, there's been a little issue or two there regarding that. You know, but that's in hand now. Hopefully he's getting some antibiotics to clear up that. Dan's progressing. As Dan will progress, that will be a week or two away. You know, so they're the two lads out at the minute. But, you know, apart from that, we seem to have recovered. We'll know a lot more this morning when the lads finally get in. You know, but we think that we're good to go apart from them two boys.
It was fantastic news that Gardner wasn't as bad as first feared as we originally thought. So the fact that he could be back within the next couple of weeks is great news.
I just, you know, it's funny a week in football because, you know, it's a Friday, we couldn't score. Now all of a sudden we've got a lot of players who look like they can score. You know, and that's just a week in football, isn't it? I think over every period of time you will get your highs and your lows and, you know, your peaks and your troughs, but we've just got to keep going. You know, my job as the manager is just to keep everyone focused on what the target was when we set out. We're well into the journey on the way to get there, and by the time we get there, we must enjoy it.
It's the consideration, and I suppose I in part ask this because it's such a long trip, because fatigue then may play its part in between games. Do you look at this one and are considering changes, perhaps?
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, because we've got good players. You know, what you don't want to do is tamper with teams. You know, as a manager, it's, you know, a manager's job is to pick the correct team. And, you know, if we come back from Plymouth tomorrow night, we've won, I've picked the right team. If we come back and we get beat, I've picked the wrong one. So that's the nature of football management, and it doesn't bother me. You know, we've got a great set of lads. I continually say on record about how much I enjoy working with them, how much of a pleasure they are to me, you know, as a group, and, you know, not just as individuals, but, you know, they come in every day, and it's not just on the training ground, it's about the building, it's about hotels with them. They're a really good group of lads, and, you know, fingers crossed we can just keep going the way we are. And whatever team I pick, I tell them all the time, it's with great thought. If you look at Mark Richards coming in Saturday for Owen Doyle on Tuesday night, it's not a case that we think Mark's better than Owen or this. We're just picking teams that we think will win a game, and we need all them lads on side. Mark's come back in the team, and, you know, Mark's a really good striker. He played really well on Saturday, and it's hard leading the line on your own. Now, the reason you lead the line on your own is so that we can attack in other areas and have other goal scorers. That's what we do. But unfortunately, sometimes for supporters nowadays, that main lead striker must be getting all the goals. If you look at around the country in general with teams who play with one up front, lead strikers are not really, you know, formidable scorers. You know, they're a lot more about leading the line. Of course they'll get goals, you know, that's what they do. You know, but in the end it's really hard to play up there on your own and get a real high amount of goals.
Is that a perception thing, in the same way that it should be two up front, a big man, a little man, yeah, a fast defender, a slower, cumbersome defender, etc.? It goes back years.
It goes back years. It's just historical. You know, that's the way it is. Do you know, football, you can't change people's mentality. When people turn up to a game, if you're not winning, get more men up front. It's just what we do. And there's nothing wrong if the other team score. Bloody hell, you change. You know, I don't mind it, maybe, because I'd be a bit old-fashioned in football terms, but old-fashioned in one way, but certainly trying to move forward in another. And the game's more, in my opinion, it's about moving the ball and, you know, playing between the lines and dominating possession and scoring goals if you can. But we've suffered a bit this year as our supporters know, with teams sitting very deep against us and denying us space. And at times that's hurt us. It's not a criticism of the other teams. It's just that I think we've done really well to have the goals we've got with teams doing that, because they certainly don't do it every week.
With particular reflection then on the Oxford game, and in light of what you've just said, is that maybe an indication that something somewhere has happened where the team have worked it out or just found a way to win a game when teams don't necessarily come in and be open?
A lot of the time we haven't had enough width in our play and we haven't had enough penetration. And what happens when we're at our worst, we try and go through the strength of the opposition. The strength of the opposition is the middle of the pitch. And sometimes our wide players come far too narrow. And now I'm trying to sound like a tactical genius, which I'm not. So get it wide and get it in the box in simplistic terms.
I mean, this reliance on the striker thing, I'm loath to mention it again because we've mentioned it sort of a few times now. But what you're not doing is relying on one guy who might get injured, who might be on the sidelines for 6 weeks. You've got seven or eight players who are all approaching double figures.
Listen, I think if your leading scorers in the division, then that answers a few questions, doesn't it? You know, if you look up the road at Scunthorpe and Young Winnell, they've got a boy who scored an extremely lot amount of goals. They're 21 games unbeaten into the season and the second in the league because there's a team above them. And we'll always get criticised here. But what we do is not bad. And if we keep sticking to what we do and not being bad, we'll be okay.
I was going to mention Roberts. He obviously got a personal award last night from the rest of the managers in the division. assess his impact this season then?
It's hard because I'm not going to get drawn into it if it's okay, because we have 9 games to go. You hit me, you know, I could sit here for an hour and speak very highly of Gary Roberts, and I won't. I'll congratulate him on his award, but we've got a long way to go. We've got 9 games and a cup final, and we've got big games within that 10 game spectrum. You know, Gary must keep doing what he's done. At the end of the year, we'll sit down and we'll give him all the plaudits in the world, but we need a couple of little things with that. So we'll wait till we get them, and then we'll start giving plaudits out then.
If he's perhaps met expectations this season, has Ollie Banks superseded them for a young player coming back into this standard of football?
He's got 9 goals, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, and he doesn't play up front. So I better take that out of him quickly, hadn't I? Because he's letting me down, isn't he? He's making me look very foolish. Listen, he's just come in, and from the day he came in on trial, we've said this, you know, if you look back on our interviews and all, don't you? When people have an infectious way of playing football, Ollie has that. And sometimes coaching and tactics take that away from him. At the minute, we don't coach him a lot. We don't give him too much tactical information, because I feel that'll change him as a player. His effect on us must be high up the pitch in the last third, and he'll continually make some bad decisions. But I tell you what, for every bad decision he makes, he doesn't have to make some good ones. And he's not half a talented boy. You know, his head's in a good place, because a lot of young lads now, you know, they get carried away with scoring a goal or two and a bit of success, and they think they've landed. You know, Ollie today is a very grounded kid who comes in every day and wants to get better. And when you've got that attitude about you, the likelihood is you will get better. He's doing very well now, and if he gets better, he's likely to play at a higher level.
Do you think he will need that extra coaching, an extra thought process, if and when he does move through the divisions? Then right now you can let him play.
Well, the thing with it, see, when teams set up like Portsmouth do and like teams do, you know, they're occupying the middle of the pitch with basically a defensive midfielder to sit and protect. Ollie's job is not to play anywhere near him. The nearer you play to him, the more you're helping him. Now, Ollie struggles with this now and again because he wants to get involved in the play. So just giving him little bits of information, that basic like that, is important. Because what you then do next is important to how we play. So certainly at times he's got involved in wanting to be in the middle of the pitch too much, instead of being in areas where he'll actually affect and hurt people with what he does. So as a young lad, as I say, he's doing great. You know, we're delighted to have him at the club, like we are with a lot of the other players. You know, we're doing well at the minute. You touched on there that we've scored a lot of goals, and you know, people still aren't happy with the fact that we don't have a striker who scores a massive amount of goals. I can't change that. Maybe you should change your phone ins now and again.
I don't know why you've
we have. Maybe you should train them and ask people, who do they want me to sign? And that would be a good one, wouldn't it?
I suppose I'm duty bound to come back and say, well, they're the Chesterfield supporters, that they phone us. We've not said Chesterfield need a striker.
I'm not criticising.
Because even we think that there is a little bit of unnecessary moaning in the fact that you're top of the tree and there's a lot.
I'm not saying, listen, I'm not criticising the supporters, because what I'm criticising is the fact of how hard it is to go out into the open market and find that person. You hear me? That's what I'm criticising. That's the difficulty of it. Especially when you have lads who free score around that position. And the lads up front, like Mark and Owen, who've only played half the games each, have got nigh on double figures each. So the likelihood, if they were to play the other person's half, maybe they'd have 18 odd goals. So sometimes I think you can actually look for something that's just not there. And listen, that's football. That's the debates we all get into about football. It's why we love football, to be able to sit and talk them through and argue them. You know, but there's always a counter-argument to every argument.
Has something moved on with Chapman and Brown? Are they back now at the football club?
Hopefully it's ongoing with the lads. We'd like to see more of all the lads who are out on loan. We'd like them to be involved in the first team. Obviously, we feel the squad where it is today is good enough at the minute to do what we want to do. Hopefully, if things were to progress really well in the league, where we've done really well, the likelihood is them lads would come back. We're not being clever enough to suggest that'll happen. You know, so as it is, they'll stay with the clubs where they are on loan and play football in readiness to play for us.
Moving on then to Plymouth, how big a test is this?
It's just the next one, isn't it? It's football, it's full of boring cliches that supporters don't want to hear. They'll always be spicing the game with John being the manager. You know, I don't think that'll ever go away. You know, we've certainly now played each other enough now for that edge to have gone a little bit. You know, certainly John will want to put over on his former club, which is, it's just the nature of the game, you know. And on record, they'll always say managers will come and go. You know, John's got a place in Chesterfield's football club's history that'll stand up next to anyone's. You know, because when you deliver what John delivered, that can stand up. So John will always look back, in my opinion, and rightly rightly so, on his time here. With, you know, I'd like to think fond memories of the club, but also proud of what he'd done and the players he worked with. He's now moved on to a different chapter in his life and he's doing very, very well. You know, he's doing really well down there because he's overseeing change, and that's not easy at a club. You know, because people want change quick. John's had a little bit of rough at times this year, but he's had a lot more smooth, and they're a good side. They've got really good players that effective high up the pitch. John's got a system that he's playing at the minute down there that's working really well for them. You know, so we know we're in for a difficult game tomorrow night, but it's a game we're very much looking forward to.
Do they have a shot at the playoffs then?
Yeah, oh yeah, geez, listen, they have an outside chance of going up automatically in this league. You know, anyone who looks at leagues at the minute and thinks you're either safe or not safe, you're very foolish. You know, you don't have to look at any team around the country who can go 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games without a win. That's the nature of the game we're in. So what you've got to do is just sort yourself out and win games. If you win games, you can achieve success. So obviously Plymouth's criteria now would be to get in the playoffs. I think they've got a great chance of getting in the playoffs. I think they're an informed team in the country. I think they're a free scoring team. They've scored a few goals in certain games, and when you've got that threat of scoring goals, you've always got a chance.
Do you expect this type of game, you know, having seen John's sides historically down the years, not just here but at Oldham as well, that he's not going to be one of those teams that's going to dig in, are they? They're going to try and play you.
Listen, I wouldn't have thought John would get involved in a game like that. John will set Plymouth Argyle out just to whatever John thinks is right to win the game, and that's certainly not my place to say, but I think John's very well known in football for playing attractive football and wanting to win games. So you don't build that sort of CV up and then just go away from your things. You know, Plymouth will do everything they can to beat us tomorrow night, whatever formation John picks, but we are expecting an open game, we are, yeah.
In context then, how big a game is this? You know, you could, given it's still relatively close and it's all really tight, not long left now, it's a big game, isn't it?
I just think for us it's huge that we need to win. I think it's, as a manager and the players, the messages are quite clear that it's what we can do to the rest of the division by winning. That's the important message from me, is that what we can do to the teams, one, who aren't playing, and two, the ones who are sitting at home wanting us to get beat, because that's what everyone does, you know. And we can only go down there tomorrow knowing the opposition is going to be tough, you know, but we got good players. You know, our players, I say all the time, we feel it in a good place with where they're going and what they want to do. Tomorrow night will be a very difficult game, but if we can come back with 3 points tomorrow night, I do think it'll be a very, very big win.